Pastor Ray Bentley on the self-sacrifice of evangelism.
There is something about those who really follow Jesus, who so love their fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters that when abuse and insult and ridicule is heaped upon them, they absorb it and they say, you know what? I will take it so that you will one day change your mind about the direction you're headed and say, maybe this love is authentic in real.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Sometimes the good news doesn't get good reviews. Sometimes when we share the gospel, we get resistance. We face ridicule and scorn. Paul understood that well. It was why he was in prison again. And today we examine his counsel to his protege, Pastor Timothy.
2 Timothy chapter 3. The title of the message is The Imitation of Christ. We are called to follow Jesus. We are called, did you know, to imitate the life of Jesus, to imitate him. The imitation of Christ is all about learning how to love. We are here on earth to learn how to love. Our Father in heaven, God is love. There's a lot that we have been taught, or, you know, the opposite of love that we have been dealt by the world that is so fallen and so broken. And I think you would agree that this world is lacking a great deal of love. That's what sin is. It's separation from God, who is love. So the great healing comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ, who left heaven and descended into the earth to love us, but also to teach us how to love and how to grow up and to become fully mature sons and daughters worthy of that calling to be in his family. Now, how do you love? Jesus, if he is the expression of love, basically, here's what love means. It means to serve and live for others. That actually, you find your fulfillment in pouring yourself out, first in love to God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Serving them. Now, in order for us to have something to give, we first of all have to learn from the Lord how to receive his love, and that's called grace. You can't earn it, you can't deserve it, he just gives it to you. So the beginning of learning how to love is to learn how to receive. But when you begin to receive from him, then you begin to express appreciation and gratitude and thankfulness, and your life becomes worship. And you learn then to be a servant. Jesus, on the night before he went to the cross, gathered his disciples, and he wanted to give them the classic lesson, even another way of seeing what he was accomplishing by dying on the cross for us. On that night that they were celebrating Passover, and he gave it that new, deep, and fulfillment message. This is my body. This is the cup of my blood. I'm coming into you guys, and wait till you see how. But now I want to do something to show you how I feel about you and what love really is. And he goes over and he grabs a towel and girds himself with a towel like a slave, like a servant. Jesus, who is far above all principality, power, might, name, dominion, every angelic realm, archangels, seraphim, and all. He's above all. And he gets on his knees and washes the disciples' feet. As I have done, so I would that you would do to others. Jesus teaches us that in the kingdom of heaven, the greatest is the servant of all. And he takes the last place. Jesus, everywhere he went, he took the last place. He was born to a poor, young, peasant, working class family, Joseph and Mary, in obscurity. And he when he began his ministry, he took the last place. He was the servant of all, even the 12. It wasn't that he gathered 12 people to sit around and serve him as the great deity from heaven, but he revealed the truth about the nature of God. He served and loved and gave to them. Jesus took the last place. What does it mean for you and I to take the last place if we are to be like him and to follow him and to imitate him? Someone as well said, Jesus has so taken the last place that none can wrest it from him. But let's try. We should be outdoing one another to love and serve one another. Now, look with me in verse 10, because Paul's talking here about discipleship. Discipleship and disciple-making. We've been talking about this recently as the Lord has pressed it inside of me and into my heart and to share with all of us. Verse 10, he says, but you, talking about Timothy, have carefully followed my doctrine, in other words, my teaching, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, Timothy, the Lord delivered me. Paul is saying, Timothy, you know, you've been with me. You have followed me in my footsteps as my disciple. And you know all about my life. You've seen it. Now, if you've been here the last few weeks, Paul is making a contrast between a true teaching, loving, Jesus-following discipler and a false teacher who basically uses his little disciplees to serve him and manipulates people and gets either their wealth or takes from them. And their message, they love all the goodies of Christianity, but they have cut out all the elements of sacrifice and servanthood and humility and repentance. Paul is trying to separate. He goes, look, you know that these guys, they don't even live what they talk. And what they do talk, they don't give the whole story. But you know that I have. And then he lists all, it's like going around the points around a circle. In every way, Timothy, look at my life. Imitate me. What an amazing thing to be able to say. Imitate me as I am imitating Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Paul says, you have literally walked with me and followed me in my footsteps everywhere I have gone, Timothy. Paul was saying, Timothy, this has been very personal between you and me. We have done this, you and I, together. You know my lifestyle. You know my teaching. You know my way of life. You know my character. You know my faith. You know my long-suffering. You know my love. And how can you forget my persecutions? Our persecutions. Verse 11. He says, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. I mean, Paul had suffered, and I've often wondered what would happen. You've probably heard this before, but I wonder, Paul was not your typical Christian leader. I wonder how he would fare matching up to today's expectations of a Christian leader. He would probably fail miserably. If Paul were to apply to a modern missions board, imagine, they get a little picture and a little bio of this guy who would like to be a missionary. They look at him in his picture, he's got scars all over his face. What happened? Well, he's been in prison. Oh, he got a little scrape of the law. No, actually, he's got a long rap sheet. He's been in prison a lot. Really? Yes, he'd like to be a missionary. He also has, we should tell you, a physical affliction that torments him day and night. Really? Yes, wherever he goes, it bothers him. It afflicts him. It's kind of like a thorn in his side. Okay, he's got a prison record. He's got physical ailments. And is there anything else? Well, as a matter of fact, there's one more thing. Every place this guy has ever been, he has stirred up trouble. Trouble? What kind of trouble? Well, let's just say furniture starts breaking, riots break out, big ruckus is going to happen. And so this is Paul the Apostle. And yet how God used him. This is Paul sharing with Timothy, you know the things that I have suffered. the persecutions, the afflictions that happened to me. And then he lists three places. Now, if you know Paul, if you've read 1 Corinthians, there are many other cities he could have mentioned. Why does he mention Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? Because those three cities, Paul could say to Timothy, you know what I have suffered in persecutions, because in those three places, Timothy, you were there. Paul had been driven out of Pisidian Antioch by persecution. He had to flee Iconium because a mob had gotten so incensed by the words of the gospel that he shared that they got a mob together and were going to lynch him. But Paul found out about it and escaped. And then in Lystra, he was stoned to death. They were so agitated at what he shared, and so filled with rage, they ran around, they got a group, they picked up rocks, and they started stoning him. And Timothy was there. Timothy stood there and saw it. And there was nothing he could do about it. Imagine the horror of seeing someone hit from all directions by rocks that they cannot even see. And the contusions and the cuts and then the blood and finally falling to the earth. And they really poured on to finish him off until finally he is a lifeless lump. And they just continue until they are quite sure he is dead. Here's this young man, Timothy, who there was nothing he could do. And he walks up and they get down on their knees and they're pulling away the rocks. And at some point along the way, all of a sudden, Paul opens his eyes. To their shock, wow, you're alive? You look dead. You had no pulse. And Paul probably had gone to heaven and talks about it later to the Corinthians. But he stands up. He wipes away the grime and the dirt and the blood from his face. And they go, probably shaking and trembling, going, all right, let's go. And Paul says, yeah, let's go right back into the city from whence we just came. Paul, are you kidding me? Hey, when I was preaching, there were some believers. They're young. They're going to be afraid. I have got to show them that I am not afraid and that they need not be afraid. They're going to have to stand strong to be a Christian in this place and follow Christ. Let's go back in. Timothy, you were there. You saw that I'm not just giving nice, flowery, happy messages over here and living differently over there. Everything matches up. And I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to lose friends. I'm willing to do whatever it takes in order to serve the Lord. And yet, he says, the Lord delivered me out of them all. Paul's in prison right now. And actually, he's going to die a martyr. But in Paul's mind, that's the final deliverance. That's the best deliverance. That's graduation. David wrote another character that got into a lot of trouble, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So you have followed me, Timothy. We've been very close. I want you to keep walking. Once I am no longer physically putting my foot down on earth for you to see, you just keep walking the same path that I have been. Verses 12 and 13, last point. He says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Remember this life truth, Timothy. Remember this principle. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Do you, can you say this morning that you desire, I've been mentioning the last few weeks, I'm no longer satisfied with having a church full of believers. Good, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you believe. Great. But I'm not satisfied with that. I now hunger and desire for a church full of committed followers of Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. If you say with me, yes, yes, I agree with you, Pastor Ray. Yes, I want to be a godly man. I want to be a godly woman. Then remember this truth. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There is something in this world, there's, and it manifests itself in a variety of ways. Maybe they don't pick up physically rocks and hurl them at you. But I know for a fact that there are many, if not most, if not all of you in one way or another, who have had verbal rocks taken from people's mouths and hit you and probably leave greater damage than any stone or cut could ever do. Seems there's nothing so sensitive as a human heart to be wounded and damaged. I mean, scars, you might have scars, but your body heals, your skin heals. A bone can be mended and repaired, but a soul, and you have suffered. There will be a cost at some point. There is a spirit that is in the world behind institutions sometimes, behind energizing people sometimes, that is virulently against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the mystery of godliness, told us as much. In John 15, verse 20, he said, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." I find it, on one level, strange that at least when you look at Jesus, what did he do worthy of death, let alone that he was crucified? You know, as he said, "For which miracle do you do this?" What is wrong with the world that cannot have a Jesus who loves people? When he opens his mouth, heaven comes out. He heals the sick. He feeds the hungry. He clothes the naked. He tells people to love, to serve one another. There's something really, really wrong with the world that takes that and then says, "There's no room for you and we must crucify you." So Jesus said, "If you saw how they treated me and now you're my body, will you receive any different treatment?" Isaiah 53, verse 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth." Now, let me just say this. Why did Jesus put up with all of this and everything? What's the point of all the suffering and everything else? And the point of why, when Paul was stoned and then Lystra, and then he gets up and he goes back in. It was love. Jesus said, you know, do your worst. Give all the fear, anger, animosity, hatred. Bring it. I will bear it. And he took it. He absorbed it into himself. And in return, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." He stood in there and loved. Paul did the same thing in Lystra. It wasn't just that he walked back in there and said, you threw me stones and you killed me. Well, guess what? I went up to heaven. No, it wasn't that attitude. It wasn't a one-upmanship. Paul went back and with, like Jesus, whom he imitated, love, said, "You don't know what you're doing. And I forgive you. You're not thinking right. And I forgive you, and I love you, and I will tell you again that Jesus is the Messiah, and that he died on the cross also because he loves you. Love brings me here." And there is something about the real, authentic Christian, those who really follow Jesus, who so love their fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters that when abuse and insult and ridicule is heaped upon them, rather than showing that they're smarter than, debating, winning arguments, holier than thou, all the rest of it, no, they absorb it and they say, "You know what? None of that stops me from praying for you or loving you or wanting you to, because of what I've experienced is so awesome and so good. I will take it so that you will one day change your mind about the direction you're headed and say, maybe this love is authentic and real." It's human nature to test something. And if they can provoke anger and jealousy and rage and fighting back and arguing, well then, hey, you're no different than me. But when you return love for all of that, something goes on a much more deep and primal level. It's like you're standing there at the cross and you're going, "I can't believe, did I just hear him say, 'Forgive them, they do not know what they are doing'? Did I just see Paul walk back into Lystra, the guy who stoned him, and look, he's not angry at them. He's not showing off to them. He's loving them. Look at his eyes. You can see it." And there's an awakening that comes, and all of a sudden you go, it's like the Spirit of Christ is in that man. I see it. I feel it. That love is authentic. It is real. And all of a sudden, hearts are broken and hearts are won. That's how the kingdom of God, it's a contest. It's a battle to test and see if what we have is genuine and real and can pass the test. Paul said, look, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Philippians 1:29 is in your notes, yes? Let's read that scripture out loud. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Philippians 3:10 and 11, let's read that. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. We live in a culture that flees suffering. They see nothing noble about it. And yet it is the very essence of nobility. The imitation of Christ is all about love. Let us imitate Jesus Christ. He who has so taken the last place that none can wrest it from him. At least let us begin to try. And let us practice right now on one another to really, authentically, genuinely love one another. Amen? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. If I were to ask, what is one thing that you will take away from today? What would it be? And maybe it's not anything that has been said verbally, but something you've heard between the lines. The Spirit speaks in a place so deep inside of us. And I'm telling you, when you hear the Lord speak, you have never heard passion until you've heard the voice of God. It cracks like thunder. It is so powerful. And it goes so deep. And it will change your life. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters today. Thank you for being in this house of prayer for all nations. May we hear the Spirit speaking to our hearts. Let us not be afraid, but let us take it to heart. Help us, Lord, as we seek to imitate Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen.
An important closing prayer from Pastor Ray Bentley here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for the message called The Imitation of Christ. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Just mention that title, The Imitation of Christ. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Timothy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave, but the Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy, son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story. And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray as he takes a break from our current series to present some timely messages to help us prepare our hearts for Christmas. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.